His very dog was Sue. Oh yeah, it is. It's a little boy standing in front of dog here. He looked as though he was sitting behind the organ.
No. They're going out.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh,
welcome to worship. You sound like you're in good voice this morning, so we've very good voice. We're coming together to praise and to worship our Lord and to continue to think about what it means to pray like Jesus as we continue to look at the Lord's Prayer and consider how we can enhance our own prayer life and by following his example. And one of the privileges we get in the fact that John recorded the prayer is that we get to listen in to how Jesus prayed for himself, for his disciples, and for each one of us. And it's great that we now can listen in too, remembering that Jesus continues to pray for each one of us and alongside us in our prayers as we all meet at the throne room of God. And so that should really encourage us and reassure us and spur us on in our mission for him. So let's join together in praise and sing number 24. All things praise thee, Lord Most High. That was like a spiritual workout, wasn't it? A bit of praise is really good for us. And as we come together, we'll continue our praise as we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Oh God, how awesome it is to be able to sing our praises to you this morning. We thank you that we can come together and to worship and to praise you, knowing, Lord, that all our sisters and brothers in Christ are doing the same, no matter where they are and in what situation they find themselves. Lord, we come in faith because we believe. We come to give you all the glory and honor. We thank you for your faithfulness to each one of us. And Lord, we acknowledge through these dark times that you are the light in the darkness. As we continue to look at your prayer, the real Lord's Prayer, as you pray for unity with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you created each one of us to live in unity with each other and with you. We praise you that you are the God of peace and harmony. We praise you that we can trust you for all our daily needs. We give you thanks for Jesus, for what he has done for each one of us. May we never forget what it cost him and you. We thank you that Jesus cares for each one of us, that he loves us with a love that is everlasting. We thank you that even now Jesus is praying alongside us and for us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may we comprehend what Jesus has done for us. For each one of us, no matter who we are or who we think we are, you love us. Lord, not only that, but you empower us, you entrust us to continue your work, your mission, until Jesus comes again. Heavenly Father, although we were created to be one with one another and with you, we know that we don't always love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, we know that like your disciples, as we'll be looking at later, we're not perfect in any way. We do our best. And Lord, that's all you ask for each of us. But Lord, I pray that we would listen to your correcting, to your reprimanding. Lord, you are our Creator God, our Heavenly Father, and all you want is to bring each one of us back to you so that we can continue our walk with you. Lord, we have that reassurance as we read our Lord's Prayer that Jesus intercedes no matter what. We read that you chose each one of us. Lord, as we walk out of these doors and back into the world, may we believe that to be true, knowing that we do not walk alone. Lord, we continue to pray for unity for all nations, for the situations that we have going on around the world. Again, that you wanted, that was your will, Lord, at the beginning, that each nation, race, and language would be brought together to live as one. Lord, may we continue to pray with confidence that one day that will be the case. Lord, we have a burden for your people, and particularly again today, Lord, for the people in Ukraine. We hold them in our hearts and in our prayers. Lord, we join with all nations praying for peace and for the miracles that only can be found through you. Lord, we pray that your justice would reign, that they would lay down their arms, and Lord, that through your power, peace again will be found in our nations. Lord, it can only be found through your wisdom. And so, Lord, we pray that that wisdom would just seep into all those in government and in power, in all those, Lord, that would seek to hate the other, that your love would flow through these nations, Lord, starting with each one of us. Lord, may they seek your guidance in all decisions. Lord, we pray for the scenes that we've seen yet again on our TVs this week. Lord, it causes our hearts much sadness, and so what must it be causing you? But Lord, we pray, and we pray fervently and persistently, knowing that all things will be brought right with you. Lord, we do pray for those who are persecuted, some for their faith, some for their politics, some for their colour. Lord, the hate message seems to go everywhere. Lord, may we flood this world with your good news, sharing the truth, Lord. There are so many people searching for truth and hope at this time. May we be those people that can encourage those who are seeking. Lord, we pray for those who at this time struggle with the cost of living increases that only appear to be getting worse. Lord, if we can, may we seek to help those in need. May we be directed by you to know, Lord, where we can help. Lord, we really get that feeling that now is the time for people to come to God, because, Lord, we realise that in our own power and with those that we trust in government, that isn't happening. So, Lord, may we stand firm and fast. Make us bold, strengthen us, fill us with Holy Spirit power. In the midst of each of our circumstances, like Jesus, we can pray. May we pray persistently. Lord, we give you all the praise. You are worthy. As Jesus prayed last week, Lord, may all the glory and honour go to you through each of our lives. May we live our lives like Jesus. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And at the meeting on Wednesday, we agreed to have an offering box at the back of church. We're aware that some people will have already donated online and through other channels, but if you feel that you'd like to donate to the aid that is being sent to Ukraine, then please put it in the box at the back of church, and over the weeks we'll empty it and send it on to where we've been instructed is the best place to send it. So please do that. Let's pray for our young people. Oh, great. William's staying with me today. Ah, that moved you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We can come together and worship you in the beauty of holiness, Lord, and that is what you seek for each one of us. Lord, we thank you for our young people. Be with them as they listen and learn more about you. Lord, may we be bold like they are to share the news with their friends. Lord, be with their leaders. Help them, Lord, in all the words that they have to use. May they be your words and yours alone. Amen. Somebody got out the naughty side this morning. Do you remember being that age? Yeah, everyone's going, no. Let's join together and continue in worship. Number 529. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Thank you.
As I said before, the church that I was brought up in had that across the front. I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And it just, every time I sing that hymn, it takes me back to when I was about 8. And so we continue to look at our Lord's Prayer, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. He prayed it after the Last Supper before he headed off to Gethsemane. Last week we learnt how Jesus prayed for himself, asking God the Father to glorify him so he could glorify the Father in the work that he was about to do in his Father's mission. And next, the bit we're going to look at today, Jesus prays for faith and courage to his closest disciples. As I say, they think that they were praying around about the temple somewhere as they headed across then to the Kidron Valley, and Jesus enters Gethsemane. And so after giving a last few lessons to his disciples, Christ now prays. So let's listen in again as Jesus continues. Thank you, Pippa.
I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be fully sanctified.
Thank you. Some big Christianese words in there. Sanctify, as I've said before, means to set apart, to be made holy. And that's what Jesus does for each one of us. But this part of the prayer focuses on the apostles and their ability to remain faithful despite the hard times that are to come. We read previously to that they don't fully understand what's about to happen to Jesus or to them. So let's see in a minute what we too can learn from Jesus' prayer. First of all, we'll join together and sing number 162, The Servant King. Let's pray. Almighty Father, as we've just sung those words, we're reminded of what you've done for each one of us. As we've heard your prayer read to us, Lord, as we read it for ourselves, the unity that you prayed for, Lord, is absent from our world in so many places, but we know that it is perfected in you. Lord, as we now hear your word to each one of us, we pray, Lord, for that unity. We pray that through you we will be perfectly one. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I think one of the things I was thinking about as I was reading the words and thinking about what to say this morning is that the events that are happening in Ukraine, and we can't not think about it because they're horrendous, but going on behind the scenes has been the Paralympics, and before that, the Olympics. And the modern Olympics, as we now know them, were formed so that all nations would come together. The idea was that people from every race and language and nationality together into one for a common goal. The original idea back in, I think it was the 1800s sometime, was to promote peace and harmony between nations. Whoever they were, even if they too were warring against each other. And so it does beg the question, when will we ever learn? And as we watch the news, hear the news, read the news, all the bad news, disunity, the threat to our world, there is good news within what is happening. And I know some of us have different ways of being notified of that, but one of the ones that I've been reading this week was from Premier Christian News, from the Bible Society, who are in Kyiv. And they report that more and more people are turning to Christianity to find light in the darkness since the Russian invasion began. Don't think I've heard that reported on the news. They report that one man stood there with bread in his hand and the Bible in another hand. He said, "I think that the Bible is more important than the daily bread." And then he carried on, "For me personally now, I've never prayed before. I've never been to church." He was about 70 years old and had never read the Bible. But he said he knew now was the time to come to God and be closer to God. They report that for the many people that they meet, there's many people who've never even had a Bible before. And we have to remember that they were a communist state for a long, long time. That they've never prayed before. But now they're asking for prayer on the streets. And we've seen the state of their streets. But the opportunity to pray in the streets, at home and everywhere, people are searching for faith because they know that a miracle has to happen to resolve the situation. We, most of us, feel powerless, helpless, saddened by what's going on. We don't have any diplomatic solutions. But each one of us in our prayers knows and understands that only God can make the changes and stop what's happening, not only there, but in our world. And so, although what we see is heartbreaking, what we're hearing through different channels and through different people is actually heartwarming and an encouragement for us to keep praying. And even better, as we listen again to the part of Jesus' longest recorded prayer, we can be reassured that he is continuing to pray for and alongside all those who love and trust him. Jesus was about to endure the worst agonies ever, and yet he took time to pour out his soul in prayer and petition for those who believe in him by faith. By praying for his then disciples, and next week we'll look at the rest of his prayer for people like us who followed on, it's amazing to reflect how one prayer by our Lord created a growing movement that eventually brought people from every race, language, and nationality together into one through a common faith and a common goal. How special does it make us feel to believe that our Lord Jesus prays for us? Do you feel special this morning? You don't look very, feel like you're feeling very special. Jesus is praying for each one of us now. He is interceding with us. We read in his word. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. See, I'm not making it up. It says it in God's word. And it's important that we comprehend that in our daily lives and trust in the effectiveness of these prayers as we follow him. Perhaps when we leave, we'll go out with a bigger spring in our step, knowing that Jesus is interceding with God on our behalf. Last week, in the first five verses of this prayer, we read that Jesus began by praying for himself. Now, as we come to the next part, which actually is almost three times longer, we see that all his thoughts are directed towards the welfare of his disciples. Even in his darkest hour, when he needed prayer more than anybody, Jesus was far more concerned about his disciples than about himself. As we start looking at the passage in the context, the people whom you gave me out of the world, at this point are the closest to him, the 12, though we know one of them chose eternal separation instead. Christ has made a point of reminding these people that he chose them. They did not come to follow him by their own inspiration, because we read that those given to Christ are given by God, and now they are his. We know as we read through the Gospels that Jesus wasn't backwards in coming forwards about calling out his disciples for their errors and misdemeanors and over-enthusiasm. And yet here he indicates that they have kept God's word. While sin is our responsibility, God knows that we are not perfect. The same was true of the 12. They were fallible, but their trusting commitment to Jesus meant that they were sincerely, truly following God. While they didn't fully grasp what was about to happen, they seem fully convinced that Jesus is the promised one, and what he teaches them comes directly from God. Jesus is fully aware concerning the weaknesses of his disciples in the face of the evil and suffering that they would encounter in the world. He spent quite a bit of time correcting them, reprimanding them, when they struggled to understand his lessons. But he does it as a father does to his child, to encourage them and to ensure that they are on the right road. He'd already predicted earlier in John's Gospel that they would desert him at the moment of crisis. And as we read further on, we see what happens. as I shared with some of you in the week while I'm doing my sunrise meanders across the fields, I was reminded the other morning when the cock crowed in the farm of Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, publicly denying him three times at the most critical point. And yet, in spite of knowing all of this, Jesus prayed for them with great confidence that they would be kept by the Father's power and prepared for a future effective ministry. As this part focuses on his disciples and their ability to remain faithful despite the hard times, they held sincere, legitimate faith in Jesus and his message that has always been the one and only requirement to be a true believer. Perfection is not required. Thank goodness for that. Only humble, submissive faith. As we look at verses 11 to 14, he asked his Father to protect his disciples from the persecution of the world and from the plans of the devil, because he was going to leave them soon and they would be on their own. We know what we're like, don't we, when we're left to our own devices. It's not great. He promised them the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' humanity, he understood that without him, they would become vulnerable and their faith would be tested to its limits. Their witness and testimony was so important to Jesus. The message of the good news, the salvation only through Jesus, the only way to the Father, had to be shared. So he prayed for their protection and preservation. And as 21st century believers, we know that his prayer was answered because we're here today worshipping together. If the disciples had done a runner and never come back, we wouldn't be here. As we read in God's word in the book of Acts, inspired and filled with boldness, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that little group grew to become a strong movement that turned the whole world upside down with the gospel. We are part of that movement. As I've said before, church is not a monument, it is a movement. Nothing stops the light growing in the darkness. Our Lord's prayer continues to protect his church throughout all ages, and that's us here today. Despite persecution, hatred, and negative press, God continues to move and turn the world upside down, bringing people, as was testified earlier, hope and joy in the darkest of times. Only he can provide the miracles that are being prayed for right now. There is good news happening in the world. The gospel, the good news, continues to spread and bring salvation, rescuing souls every day. Because Jesus is intently praying for all his people. And it should bring us that reassurance and motivation that if his prayer for his first disciples was able to protect and preserve them so well at the time of what they were about to face, his prayers for each one of us will also do the same right now, whatever our circumstances. As we read Jesus' words of prayer, we begin to comprehend what makes his prayers for us so effective. Looking at verse 6, and I'm reading it from the message. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place. Then you gave them to me, and they have now done what you said. And so we see that there's that emphasis on ownership. As we get to verses 9 and 10, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world, but those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours, and yours mine, and my life is on display in them. Disciples like us belong to both God and the Father and God the Son. And our response is accept or reject. Those who respond positively to Jesus are accepting God. Those who reject Jesus are rejecting God himself. Therefore, if you're a believer, that is the basis on which Christ prays for us, for we are his. We are precious in his sight. Father and Son will do everything to protect what belongs to them. As these words are spoken, his ministry in the world is over, and the apostles will be left to carry the gospel. We read, don't we, that the world will be hostile to their message. The world is still hostile to God's message. However, Jesus has already provided comfort by predicting the coming of the Holy Spirit and his eventual victory. As I say, we know what happens in the end. And then we recognize that the prayers of Christ are based on his ministry of revealing God's word to us. As we read how he prayed for his disciples in verse 14, I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. In the same way, Jesus prays for us that the word of God he has infused in us will work powerfully in our lives to keep us faithful. And he knows exactly what that divine word is able to do, because in verse 17 he says, make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is the truth. Being set apart, sanctified is the big word if you want to throw it around, for God mission. Our lives are changed from within, and he prays for that inward work of his word in our lives. And so as we get to the end of that part of the prayer, we see that his prayers are based on the holiness of God and of Christ himself. Verse 11, Jesus refers to God as Holy Father. Verse 19, he speaks of his own holiness as guaranteeing the preservation of holiness in the lives of the disciples. He says, I'm consecrating myself for their sakes, so there'll be truth consecrated in their mission. In a world that is searching for truth, we have the truth in and through Jesus. Jesus was devoting himself completely by dying on the cross for his disciples and for each one of us. This would be the grounds for their holiness before God. His visible wounds are the evidence to silence any worldly doubters of our being set apart, made holy by God. As the fruits of the Spirit grow and our lives are transformed and blessed and strengthened to be Christ-like through the truth. Cornerstone of Christian faith is following the example of Jesus, and the more Christ-like a person is, the more an anti-Christian world will hate and persecute them. We see it, don't we? Like those early believers, contemporary Christians are also in the world, yet commanded not to be of the world. As those left in the world to carry God's message, we're meant to continue seeking and speaking God's truth as Jesus did. God the Father sent Jesus into the world to accomplish a specific mission. That position didn't make Jesus immune from suffering and hardship. It was the obedience to God required Jesus to endure the cross. Equally, we know that Christians are not protected from harm just because they belong to Christ. Even though Jesus is most directly praying for his disciples then, this prayer does have application to all who come to faith in Christ. And next week, we'll continue to look at what Jesus prays for each one of us. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we hear Jesus' words again for his disciples and for those that came afterwards, We thank you that we are chosen and set apart for you. Through our faith in Jesus and becoming part of the body of Christ. We thank you that through the transforming work of your Holy Spirit that we would submit our lives and continue that work of being made holy for your glory. Thank you for giving Jesus to be our Saviour and for sending him to be our example and pattern of how we should live. Lord, may each of our lives, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would live for you, walking in spirit and truth, living our lives in total dependence on you. Lord, may we become more and more Christ-like, knowing that you pray and intercede, no matter what persecution or anything else we face, Lord, because we know that Jesus will come again. And then we will finally be set apart for you. May we live our lives for your praise and glory. Amen. So let's continue our praise as we sing number 506, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we've just sung your praises and sung our little hearts out, may those songs of praise continue as we leave this place. May we never be afraid to say and to proclaim your word that you have placed on each of our hearts. Each one of us has a story to tell. May we be bold in telling it. Lord, may your praises continue forever and ever. Amen. And just to say that our Lent studies continue at Hanover on Friday. And also, as I prayed earlier, that obviously the cost of living is affecting so many people. I know people support various different things, but the Wickham Food Hub are running short on certain items. So if you need some more information, please talk to Philippa. And if you want to donate any items to them, give them to Philippa and she'll be able to take them down. Thank you very much.